Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 11. The Bible verse is from James 1:22, and it reads, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." That's James 1:22. Before I retired, I used to be a classroom teacher. I taught math, and I taught in the classroom for about 30 years, not at the same place, but at different places and with different ages. I think the majority of my time was as a middle school teacher. And when I say that, if you've never been very around middle school kids, you know that is a hard age to teach. Just the changes that they go through in their life and the hormonal stuff and all of that. But anyway, by teaching math, though, I remember I used to say to the kids a lot, math is not a spectator sport. That they had to get that pen and paper out, and as I was teaching the way to do certain problems, then they had to try them out as well. Otherwise, I was getting very good at doing problems, and they were just good at looking and listening, but not doing. So it wasn't a part of who they were. And the same thing the Lord is saying to me regarding His Word. And He says it to me every day. I cannot even rest on the laurels of what I did yesterday. I can't say, "Oh, I was so good yesterday in terms of following the Lord, what He told me to do." And I think I'll just rest and do what I want to do today. And that will get me into a lot of trouble when I would do that. Though the Bible is a reminder of that. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. I would be in denial. Do what it says, James 1:22. And there's a big lesson, of course, regarding the food for me in that. In this reading, it even says that in the earlier time, one of my favorite things to do was to read about diets. My husband and I now joke because when you go to the grocery store and you look at these magazines, when I was a young adult, they used to call them women's magazines, but, you know, they're House and Garden or Woman's Day. I don't even know if they still have that one, Woman's Day. But anyway, with those types of magazines, and we joke because it's still true today, that on the cover, it usually is some information about losing weight. Whether they're talking about some diet or, you know, the best way to do it and X, Y, Z. And then my husband said, "Yeah, but at the bottom, they always have some big recipe. They might even have a big picture of a cake." And they do. I'm usually go to the store, you know, prove me wrong. Go and see yourself if that is true. And so I was just following the pattern of the world. Pattern of the world, boy, you would think everything was dependent on body size and appearance. And believe me, God definitely wants me to take care of this temple that He has for me. This is why I'm so adamant about, you know, squeaky clean for me. He has given me a gift of how to take care of what used to baffle me. I could not maintain a weight loss for 2 seconds, it seemed like. And it wasn't always that way. I wasn't, as a child, I was not an overweight child. And I give two reasons for why that was true. One is that TV was not popular. We didn't even have one, as I remember, until I was an adolescent. And then the other one is that I spent a lot of time outside, you know, roller skating, riding bicycles, being in the neighborhood, that type of a thing. And it really wasn't until I was an adolescent that I could see that how I ate was catching up with me, in that my body could not maintain the way that I ate. One of the big things that I used to do is that I was so sugar. I ate sugar a lot. I ate candy a lot. I'm surprised that, you know, I did not have rotten teeth, but I didn't for whatever reason. But I definitely, once I got to the adolescent stage, I got that chubby, dumpy type of body that when I, you know, I used to carry it from the neck down, so I could almost take a picture of the top and it looked okay. But boy, look at those thighs and everything else, and I didn't like that. And I remember going on my first little diet. I went to the library and I got a book about dieting, and as usual, I could do a good sprint, meaning that I could buckle down for a period of time, get the job done, and then go back into the old habits. And so, and that opened the door for me of having affinity for diets. I was looking for the right diet. Just give me the right diet. And that meant that was my goal, was just the outer. I wanted to look good. I wanted my body thin. And I did that for many, many years, even into my young adult age. And the problem was that my eating was continuing to get worse and worse. It wasn't standing still. And what I understand now is that my eating is, if I ate that way today, it would still be this besetting sin. It's a besetting sin. In the Bible, you speak or you hear about this sin or besetting sin. And it's the type of sin that clings to us. It's reoccurring. That's the thing about this type of sin. We call them addictions. That's what we call it. But it's that type of sin that kind of started off okay. It was fine. And I fell into an overeating addiction. I ate, and I loved the taste of food, in particular, like I said, sweet food and all of that. And yeah, that was what happened. And what happened is that I got entangled into that type of behavior, and it had a strong hold over me. And I had repeated struggles. I struggled, like I said, from that first diet on. Because what happened after that first diet is that I did indeed lose the weight. But it didn't take very long for it to come back on. And so I kept looking for diets, looking for a way to get the weight off. But then it would come back on. That was because I had the diet mentality. I didn't even think about it as being something that God would want for me. I never had thought about, that I wanted to eat in a way that honored God. And part of the reason I didn't think of that, I didn't have that type of relationship with God. I had been in a church, I've said this before, but it was all about religion. Religiosity, the show, going to church, and we went to church every Sunday, we went to a church that was liturgical, so you knew the drill. Everybody said things in unison, we prayed in unison, we knew all of that, and yet that personal relationship through Jesus Christ did not come into my life until the age of 41. I was 41 years old before I came to the understanding that there was a difference between religiosity and the true relationship with a living God. I did not know it. And the strange thing, too, that it happened in 1991 is that I also had found a group of people. I had been a part of that group for about 4 years at that point, where we all followed the same food plan, or the same, you know, some people might still think of it as a diet. We had a piece of paper and we all followed it, and we became almost like when you go and read in the Bible about the Tower of Babel. You know how in the Tower of Babel that those people, they all got together and they built that big tower. They had this big tower because the force of all of them coming together. And that was what happened. And at the time, it was the best thing I knew at that time, because I didn't know any other way to stop that overeating stronghold that was on my life. That was, I mean, it was bad by that time. And so to find relief, that's what I found, pretty much relief. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot that I still use in terms of making sure that I don't go back into that type of behavior with the food physically. That I still need to get nutrition. And so I get nutrition actually by following that plan that they give to me. But how do you continue to follow a plan? How do you continue to do what you need to do that will help you in your life? The only way that I can know to consistently do what I need to do is that it has to be connected to what my Savior, the Lord Jesus, wants in my life. And this is what is true for me today. My eating, I do it for the glory of God. I do that for God's glory. It helps me to stay clear-minded. It helps me to have the energy to do the work that needs to be done. That's the sad thing about the overeating, is that it robbed me of the will to do very much. I couldn't do very much. I could rally myself to get some work done. Like I said, I was a teacher, and I could, you know, put my mind to something and get the papers graded and the lessons planned and all of that. Yeah, I can really focus, you know, on that. And then the rest of the time, I was into my, what they call it in the secular rooms, I was into my drug of choice. And my drug of choice was definitely the eating. So I would work, and then I would eat. That was my pattern. That was what I did. And it was the Lord who broke in with his word that made the difference in my life, and is making the difference in my life today. That I know that if I would go back into the food today, I would not only suffer, but this gift, the gift that God gives to each one of us, you know, there's that Bible verse that reminds us, it's in, I think it's 1 Peter 4:10, something that says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So in between, what happened in 1991 is that I came to know Jesus as Lord. I realized that there was a difference. And the way I realized it was from the people, people who really knew him, and I saw that they did know the Lord, and I learned from them, and I learned to start reading the Bible. And that brings me to what I know today. There are three things that I keep in place in my day so that I do not slip back into that compulsive eating. And I really diligently try to keep working at these things. The first one is that staying in the Word of God, just immersing in that Word, not giving it a light touch, and it, by any means of the imagination, and trying to bring my heart into the time that I spend in the Word. I want to do it. I want to make it a priority, so I do it at the beginning of the day, and I do it, you know, sincerely, meaning that I want to bring my heart into my time in the Word, and I do it consistently, day after day, to continue to do that. So one of the things that helps me to stay abstinent today is that getting into the Word, immersing into the Word. The second thing that helps me to stay abstinent, I'm going to put prayer as next. In fact, I don't even know which one comes first, the prayer or the Bible study, because my prayer opens the way for me to understand the Bible, actually. It opens the way for me to even do the Bible. Prayer does that. But on the same token, the Bible makes my prayers more effective and meaningful. The Bible actually tells me the things I need to be praying for. When I see certain things in the Bible, I can read a line in the Bible on most days, and immediately a prayer comes in my heart, like, whoa, you're not there, Pat. How about praying for that to happen in your life? So prayer and Bible study in that way, those are the first two biggies. But the second one is taking care of my food. Like I said, my besetting sin, and I think most of you who are on this meeting, this is called Bible for Food, so I'm assuming that most of us have this besetting sin, although we might have others, such as people pleasing and drinking and drugging and sexing and whatever. These are all the in the same bundle of these things that we started doing, and then they took over our lives, and that's what, you know, besetting sin does. But the third one for me is that making sure that my food is squeaky clean. In other words, I plan what I want to eat. I plan it under, you know, committed to the Lord. And I eat what I plan. I eat what I plan, because this I know about the besetting sin of food, is that it's very easy to get off and running for me. And so I don't have any provision for the flesh in that way. My food is usually very simple, but it's good. It's a delicious way for me. When it's time for me to eat, it's time for me to relax, and it's time for me to enjoy my food. And then when it's over, it's time for me to go back to working for the Lord. Because my bottom line desire is that the way that I live my life points others to Jesus Christ. That's what I believe is the commission on my life, is to live that way. And I want to live that way, because I've said it over and over again. I know no better life. I have lived 74 years now, and this life of keeping in step with the Spirit and staying out of the food and praying, I don't know any life that is better than this one. But let me pray. Father, I want to live out your word. I really do. And what it tells me to do in the power of the Spirit, I want to do it, Lord. And when you show me something, that can help another human being to come to a better knowledge of Jesus. I pray, Father, that I do not shrink back from telling people about the glorious salvation of Jesus Christ. He is my sin bearer. He is the one that gives me the way, the truth, and the life. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus that I pray. Amen.